Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life, real talk about real life, honest, no holds bar advice on how to take control of your financial future. To secure your future means freedom for you and money matters. And I am your host, Diamond Taylor. We have an exciting show for you tonight. I encourage you all to call in. The chat room is open. The guest call-in number is 734-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. We're going to be talking about how to secure your financial future. And for those of you all who are trying to establish credit, establish a bank account, try to get a hold of what's going on with you financially, and those of you all who had credit and are living off of your credit due to the economic crisis in our country and trying to figure out what to do and how to stay afloat. And for those of you who have credit issues, this is a show for you. Again, I encourage you all to call in. We might have a special guest tonight. And the phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. I'd like to open up the show actually talking a little bit about credit and how to establish it. The first thing you want to do is start with establishing a savings before you can even think about doing anything with your credit, and also getting a checking account. That is very, very important. Last week, or actually the last 2 weeks, we talked about this, and I was surprised, like some of the other guests, to understand that there are people who still don't have any forms of a bank account whatsoever. And that is very important to establish some kind. It doesn't have to necessarily be a bank account, but you do need to either even have a credit union account or some sort of institution where your money is being held. It is very important, especially now, not to so much carry cash, because you really need to have some kind of account for where your money goes. Because if you have cash in hand, you'll be surprised at how fast it flies out of your wallet. So we want to make sure that you have a personal banker, because your personal banker is going to be your best friend. They're going to be able to sit down with you and create a financial plan for yourself. And it doesn't take a lot of money to open up an account. A lot of banks now have free checking, and also they also have a savings account that you can open up with no more than $25. So if you put a little away, you'll be surprised how much that adds up. And we actually waste more money than we actually realize. If you are one of those ones who likes the gourmet coffee and you actually go to Starbucks or any of those other premium coffee houses and you realize how much a latte costs, or even a tall grande or anything like that, if you take that coffee money or that cigarette money or whatever, you know, disposable money that you actually are shelling out on things that you really don't necessarily need, and start putting that away for yourself. It is very vitally important that you start putting yourself first, because you're going to always have bills, and that is true. But you need to start creating a plan where you are included in your bill payment. I'm going to open up the phone lines early so that we can get some comments from some of our listeners. And the chat room also is open. If you would like to chat with us and don't want to necessarily be online, I can take your information from the chat room and actually bring it over the broadcast. And our phone number again is 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. And we do have a caller, caller 815. You're on the air. Please say your name.
Okay, hello. This is Ron. Hello, Diamond. How are you doing?
How are you, Ron? We're talking about how to establish some financial assets for ourselves and actually securing our financial future. We're starting off with talking about banking and how to set up an account and getting on the right track as far as that's concerned. And then we'll move on to talk about credit a little bit later in the show. So how did you start off with, well, how old were you when you started your first account, whether it was savings or checking?
Oh, let's see. That is, it's been a bit of
time.
Or
did your parents set that up for you?
No, they didn't. I did it. I'm trying to remember. I think I was 21, 21, 22, somewhere around in there. In my early 20s.
Okay.
I think that's when I did it. And what had happened was that, first thing, my parents had always maintained a checking and savings account.
Okay.
So I picked it up from them. And now as far as, say, like the credit union account, I have never been one to say, like, be someone to jump into the new things.
Okay.
Always waiting to see what the waters look like and watch the people that have already jumped in, see what's happening to them.
Okay.
So the thing being is that I did not get into the credit union until on my job. Now, I had a number of jobs that had credit unions, but I had never bothered to join. I just maintained my checking and savings accounts. But what happened, how I did end up in the credit union on the last job I had, was this. The chief clerk of the credit union on my job, I'm a retired bus operator out of Chicago. That's the first thing. Anyway, the chief clerk of the credit union was one of my relief guys. Okay, so one day when he was relieving me, he asked me if I were in the credit union. I told him no, I was not. So he asked me, where did I bank? I said, well, it was the First National Bank then, and now I believe it's Chase now. Anyway, I told him, I'm at the First. So he tells me, I said, I have a checking and savings account at the First. So he tells me, what you should do is keep your checking account, because that's liquid money. Keep your checking account. But you should take your savings, close out your savings account, put a bulk sum into the credit union, and set up for payroll deductions. And this is what I did. And I set up for payroll deductions, closed the savings account, and I just worked it from that. Now, what I was doing with my, well, the reason he explained to me for doing it was that at the time, I don't know what's happening with the credit unions now, but at the time, the credit unions were giving better interest than the banks.
Okay.
So when he explained this to me, I did some checking on it and found out it was true, I made the move. So now when I had my savings account, I never took anything out of that account. I just put money into it. I was living out of my checking account, and it was in a continuous state of growth. So I never really needed to go into my savings account or anything. So when I got into the credit union, I did the same thing. Like when I would get a they never settle a contract on time, so by the time the contract was settled, we'd always have retroactive pay coming. So what I would do, I would take that extra check, and instead of blowing it, I would put it into the credit union. At the end of the year, I get a deduction from income tax. I put it in the credit union. Any extra money that I got, I put it in the credit union. And I never took anything out of that account. I used to call it the Roach Motel. Everything goes in and nothing comes out. So I just continued to put it in and over the years. And after a number of years had gone by, I matched the account. And, they send you a quarterly statement, but they can only insure you for a certain amount. See, so once you max it, when they send you that quarterly statement, they have to send you your interest.
Okay.
Okay, so what I did, now they're sending me the interest. So instead of taking that interest money and putting it into my checking account, I started another savings account.
At the bank or at the credit union?
No, not at the credit union. I just went back to the bank.
Okay.
I just went back to the bank. Because by then, the interest, they were running pretty close to neck and neck at the time.
Okay.
See, so say like one way or the other, no matter which way you go, it comes to about pretty close to the same thing. So I put the money in, I just opened another savings account. But what was happening with my credit union account, I left it the same. The payroll deductions are still going into it. The money's sitting up there and it's growing interest. So, boom, the money's coming right back to me. So what I did, now I've got two accounts that are just growing. Well, one of them is really growing. My savings account has really got inflated. So they suggested that one of the tellers suggested that I go and talk to an investment counselor and do something really constructive with this extra money, because it's just sitting there and the amount of interest is growing. The money really wasn't working that hard. So I followed her suggestion, and I made some investments, and nothing really crazy. It was like a 3-point program. It was
okay.
Hmm?
I said okay.
Okay, it was say like moderate, low risk, and something a little aggressive. That's the way it was. 1, 2, 3. But anyway, just working with the investment counselor, like you said about having your personal banker.
Right.
This helped me a great deal. Because this was a thing where the money was going in, and it wasn't, It was just growing because I was living out of a program that I had created for myself. And this is something I think it is very important for somebody that is just starting out. Is that if you're just starting out and you don't have any bills, you don't have any credit anywhere, you're just starting out, you should really create a program, create an economic program for yourself. This is basically what I did. I created an economic program for myself. And the thing, man, I think the first thing young people should do, a matter of fact, anybody, young or old, to say like if you're not in hock, and you have an income, what you should do first thing is figure out, like you were saying about going into Starbucks and doing everything on the high end. Start looking at a thing and saying like, okay, how much money do I have to deal with, and where is my money going?
Okay.
And take pen in hand and see, say, hey, where is my money going? How much money is coming in, and how much is going out, and where did that money is going out? Where is it going?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of times people don't realize how much money that they burn through. One of the things that I've noticed, that's why I encourage people to have a checking account or some kind of an account that where your money can be tracked. Because if you have a checking account where you use it, and if you use your debit card or you actually use the registry for your checking, for your checkbook, you're actually taking an account of everything that you do, all of the activity that's coming in and out of your account. So if you get a checking account and then you get a debit card, because a lot of people don't want to carry cash, and cash is the easiest thing to fly out of your pocket quickly. So I encourage young people, well, all people really, but young people definitely, that when you get your account, not to carry, you have to carry some cash, but to make sure that you keep account of what you're spending and also with your debit card, keep an account of what you're spending. Because if you look at your statement and you see that when you're like an impulsive buyer and you say, okay, well, I want to go to McDonald's and I'm going to get lunch today. So that super value meal that may have cost you $5 and something for lunch, but earlier that day you stopped at Starbucks and you got a large coffee, so that may be $2 or $3. So now you've already spent $8. And then you may say, well, you know what, I want to go and I'm going to run to the mall and I'm going to buy something else that's on sale. Okay, you didn't really shop around, so you just grabbed the first thing. So now you spent about $20-something. And if you go and you go out on a date somewhere, if you go to the movies by yourself, you're already going to spend $9.50. If you buy popcorn or anything at the concession, that's already $5-something. So see how quickly your money has been spent. And you haven't even completed a full week, let alone a month, just on frivolous things. Now, just say, for instance, if you just have to have that Starbucks, or if you have a smoking habit, you just have to have that carton of cigarettes. And so much of your money is flowing out, and it's unaccounted for. So I'm just saying, if you keep track of your impulsive spending, that can go into savings.
Okay, I agree. I would agree and disagree with the thing with the debit cards, and say one thing is nice about say that having the cash. Just because you have cash doesn't mean you have to have all of your cash in your pocket at the time. Here's the way I always did it. I've never used a debit card, and the only thing I use checks for is to pay bills. Now, what's nice about dealing with a thing of cash is you can see this these dollars right in front of you. They're in your pocket. And when they're gone, they're gone.
Right.
See, so I'm looking at a thing and saying, like, okay, when those dollars are gone, if you learn to say, okay, let's say you give yourself, let's say you give yourself $300 pocket money. You can pay it every 2 weeks, and you give yourself $300 for pocket money.
So in other words, you're paying yourself. Now, with that $300, that's what I'm saying, you can actually take that $300. If you don't use it on a debit card, you could also get a what they call a prepaid credit card.
You could do it like that, but okay.
Right.
But like I said,
when you're not carrying cash.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I'm just looking at the way I did it, and like I said, I started out before all of this debit card, all these other things were available.
Okay.
But to see the thing being, I always felt, and I do feel today, that if you get that money right in your hand, whether you got it home in the mattress and you only take a few bucks out with you whenever you're going to work or wherever you're going, you figure out, say, like, hey, I'm going out to the club. How much do I need at the club? How much am I going to spend at the club?
Okay.
If you put yourself on a budget, you're going to take that amount with you, maybe a few dollars extra, and when it's gone, you go back home. You're not going to just blow money right there because you don't have it there in your pocket. It's not there in front of you. You're not going to pull out a card and use the card because you're being impulsive. See, so I've always looked at it, this way I did it, is that if you give yourself, like I said, $300, and out of the $300, you have to get your groceries and, your groceries and all your other little, your groceries, your laundry has to come out of that. Everything else, you're paying, say, like, your liquid account, which would be your checking, checkbook, your checking account, I should say. You would say, like, pay your utilities, your rent, your car note, your utilities, out with checks.
And your insurance.
Yeah, with checks. All of this would come out with checks. But you've got $300 that's supposed to last you 2 weeks.
Okay.
Now, suppose next payday rolls around, and you've got $50 left. So what you do is that you give yourself $250. You give yourself $250 out of your next paycheck.
Instead of the 300.
Out of the three.
Okay.
So what will happen if you can learn to deal with your budget? If you learn to budget yourself like that, you got that money right in your hand. You have said, like, okay, I'm going to the club. It's going to cost X amount of dollars to get in the club. How much of a drinker am I? Am I going to meet somebody and buy a couple of drinks?
So you can just figure out what
are the drinks going to cost? But it's the thing I'm saying. If you can figure out what that is going to cost for your night on the town, boom, you can do that. You take that money with you, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is it is important to have a plan even before you leave the house.
Right.
Plan your money. Okay, so you plan your money.
Yeah, most definitely, plan your money. I think people would learn faster like that than they would if they've got a card that they can use the card and place the money. They can pull out their checkbook and whoever the proprietor will accept their check. And they're going to end up blowing it. And as far as they keep them up with a checkbook, You've got people that they write checks like crazy, and they don't bother to put to record it, so they can't
right.
balance their checkbook.
Right. Well, here's the thing. This is why I suggested, since a lot of places do accept your debit card, which is still from your, it's connected to your checking account. The reason why I said do that is because you can track, even before you have a budget or anything, most people already have some sort of an account, whether it be checking or savings or whatever. If they look back, they can just look back at their old statements and see exactly what you have spent. My suggestion, even when, you know, when I talk about credit too, you need to sit down and look at all of your old, you can even go back from the next 2 months ago. So this is September. So we'll say, I want everybody to look at August and July's checking account statements. And with pen in hand or a highlighter in hand, and look through all of the purchases, everything that you have bought or, you know, paid for with a highlighter. And beyond the bills, because, of course, you know you have your standards, of course, your rent or mortgage, your insurances, and utility bills that include cell phones and every and what so have you. Not including those, but I mean these other purchases that you might have bought. And highlight those and see how many of those non-essential things that you have purchased. And then you can actually, and then add up the totals. And that will tell you how much actual disposable income that you have used.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you do that, that will start you on actually taking a real close microscopic look at your own personal finances, even before you even talk to an investment banker or even your personal banker or anybody like that. You can look at what your patterns are. If you look at the last 2 months or even last 3 months and see how much you have spent on non-essential things, those are the things that you did not necessarily have to have. These are, we're not talking about your needs, so that does not include any of your bills, but the things that you did not have to have, because now that we are in a economic dire strait as a country, we really need to cut back on some of these non-essential things. So we really need to look at what we're spending and figure out how we can, how that money can be better placed for us. I mean, it is so important that we do that, because, see, then that's how we end up using up our disposable income and living off of credit. Even before there was this recession, a lot of people were utilizing too much or wasting their disposable income and also wasting their credit. So, like you said, it needs to be a form of discipline that we need to have first and foremost. And the best way to do that is it's easier to track, like you said, a checking account or even your debit account, which is still your checking account, or even if it's a credit union, they still provide you with a debit card. It's easier to track that than it is to track cash. Because even like you said, if you give yourself an allowance, and you need to do that, that's very, very important. You need to factor yourself in like you are a bill. So like you said, if you budget yourself for $300 out of your paycheck, and that's just an example, $300 out of your paycheck, and you say, okay, this is what I have to spend on food, on any other of the other things that I want. Not your bills, but everything else. Like you said, food, laundry, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Going out on the town or whatever your mad money, if you will, mm-hmm. that you're going to spend for the next 2 weeks. It's easier to track that than it is if you just have cash. Because what happens with cash, you know that may be your budget. You may say, okay, this is how much I have to spend for the week or for 2 weeks, $300. And when it's gone, it's gone. But it's harder to say, what did I spend that money on? You understand what I'm saying? Even if you keep receipts, it's like it's so easy not to remember to get the receipt.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why I suggest that you do get a debit card. Even like someone in the chat room said, prepaid debit cards are the best. And it is true because you know you put that money, if your budget is $300, you go get a prepaid debit card for $300, and you can still track your spending.
Say, Diamond?
Yes.
I'll tell you something else that you can do with cash and you cannot do with a debit card.
Okay.
With cash, okay, if you, whenever you go, you make a purchase, let's say, okay, you're spending X amount of dollars a day. Now, if you are using cash, get the change. Don't get a break bills. Get change. Get the change. Get
right.
Always get the change. If you get something that costs 75, if you get something that costs a quarter, give them a dollar. Give them a dollar. And okay, this is gonna give you 75-cent change. When you get home, put that 75-cent change in a piggy bank.
Okay, that's very smart. That's
you
nice.
Would be amazed at how soon that piggy bank will get full.
That's true.
You will be absolutely amazed at how soon that piggy bank will. Now, this is say something that I have been doing. Well, I haven't been doing really all this. I say 4 or 5 months now. I've been doing this, but you would be amazed at how soon that piggy bank will just add up and get full of change. And the thing being, what I do with it is, hey, that's mad money.
Okay.
That is mad money. You can blow that. You can blow that. Hey, let's say there is a DVD or a set of CDs that's kind of pricey.
Right.
Hey, use the mad money on it. That change, use that mad money on it. And the thing is, hey, treat yourself. Be good. That's your be good to you money. And you can be good to you all the time, but that's your little extra being good to you. But like,
okay,
as I said before, you can't do that with your debit card or with a check. But if you're dealing with that thing with that cash on hand, and do not give anybody the change, even if it's for a couple of pennies. Because I've been in places, it's something else, I've been in places where it was just a couple of pennies and they told me forget it.
Oh, wow.
But you see, the thing being is that you keep the change and get the change. And you'd be amazed. Within a month or so, maybe like 35 days, something like that. About a week and a week, about a month and a week. You'd be amazed at how much money you would have in change.
That's
and it does add up. But you have people that, well, I guess you live in bad neighborhoods. I don't know. They're looking at a thing and say, well, I'm afraid to carry cash. I might get robbed. But if you're going to get robbed, you're going to get robbed anyway. So it don't even matter.
Well, we would hope not. But what I'm saying
is, we hope it doesn't happen. But it's the thing. It's the world and the times that we're living in, you know. No place is safe. I mean, as far as that's concerned, it's just one of these things you can just say, hey, be thankful that you escape unscathed. You know?
That is true. Here's the thing. I think that the keeping the change, as you say, paying your whatever your purchase is, if you do carry cash and you use big bills and you break it, that makes a lot
of sense.
If you have something like your example, if you bought something that costs a quarter, you give them a dollar, you have 75 cents back. And what happens with that, and I do it myself, and I even do it with children, is that it does add up. And kids especially, I think we need to start out with our children and teaching them about money and savings And, you know, instead of indulging them for everything and giving them everything, I know what I've done is they have to earn it. Because you will accept, you know, you will appreciate things more when you earn what you get. Because I think too many times we just give, 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 and the kids have absolutely no idea where the money comes from. And it's a whole different story. They sing a different song when they have to save up for it themselves. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, that their allowance. You say, oh, well, if you want this video game, you have to pay for it. They go, oh, well, I don't want it that bad. I'll wait and save up for the game I really want. You know, so I have noticed that when I've taken children to the store and they say, well, can I have a candy bar? I'm like, well, where's your allowance? Oh, well, that's okay. I'm trying to save up for a video game. So then they have a different respect for money. And I think a lot of times we don't respect money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't respect it at all. And even as adults, and I think that's another thing, we don't even respect our lines of credit. The fact that we were given the ability to have it, we don't respect it. And I think that's how quickly it gets abused. Not those of us who have to rely on credit because of unfortunate incidents that happen, whether it's sickness or loss of a job or whatever. But just think about it. If you would have abused your credit when you didn't have to, when you need to use it when you need it, but if you abused it before the actual need, when you started buying things on credit unnecessarily, then when you really need to utilize that credit line, then you find yourself in having problems. You know, you can't get it. You know, you won't be able, they won't allow you to have credit as a result because you've abused it. You didn't pay on time, and then you realize that the cars that you do have, the interest rate started off real small, and, you know, you miss one payment, and that low interest rate now is 23%. And you're like, well, what happened? And now, you know, you're sitting in the minimum payment on a smaller purchase, it's going to take you 15 years just to pay off, like you a lamp that cost you $200. It's taking you 15 years to pay it off because you're only paying the $5 a month charge, minimum. So, you know, and I think it's because we don't really respect money. We don't respect money. We don't respect our credit. We don't understand how it works. I think that's what happens. So many times we don't understand where the money comes from, how it goes, and it just goes so fast that we find ourselves paycheck to paycheck because we did not respect money. What do you think? What are your views?
I would agree wholeheartedly.
Well, let the other callers call in. If you would like to call in and talk with us about savings and money and credit and basically trying to shore up our financial future, you can call us at 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. You're listening to Secure Your Life, real talk about real life, how to take control of your financial future. So as you were saying, Ron, I do believe that, like you say, if you're having cash, you have to pay for something, and you give them a bill so that you can get the change. Because actually, that's like a double savings, really. Because like you, if you're collecting the change at home in a jar, piggy bank, or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you actually have opened up a savings account and you've given yourself an allowance, which means you're paying yourself first, then it's like you are actually getting the best of all of the, you know, all the possible situations here.
Right.
You know, no matter what your income is, you know, you don't have to make a lot. You still need to pay yourself first. If you're only making minimum wage, you need to find a way to put something back to yourself. And that's why I encourage people to definitely look at how you're spending your money, because the less money you have, the quicker the money goes, and that's true. So if you're following and tracking your purchases, then you have a better look at where you're going in your present financial situation, and then you can better plan for your financial future. Because when you get ready to go and talk to your personal banker, because say, for instance, like I said, most banks now, they want your business. They are so hungry to get new customers that they, you know, a lot of the banks, almost all of the banks, offer totally cheap, totally free checking. And even be careful with that. You need to make sure that you sit down with your personal banker and have them explain to you all of their products and services to make sure you find something that works for you. Because you got to be careful of the hidden fees, too. See, and they may say totally free, but it may not necessarily be free. And it may not necessarily be totally free. So you got to, you know, you have to read the fine print and make sure that whatever it is that you are signing up for with the bank, that it is something that fits your situation. Because I went into a situation where I was banking. I had actually several bank accounts just like you, Ron. And actually I split my just like you had the credit union and then you had your regular bank account. I had actually two different banks. I banked with two different banks and had four different accounts. And what happened at one bank, I got in when I first got my first job, and it was totally free, and you didn't have to worry about anything. You didn't have to have direct deposit. It was literally totally free banking. And I had a totally free checking account, and I also had a savings account. And with my situation, I did the same thing that you did, which I put money away in the savings and didn't touch it, and I used my checking account to basically pay all the bills and stuff like that. And my savings didn't go as like yours, where it got actually top heavy and I needed to invest. I didn't get to that point with that particular account. But I was able to see where my money, how I was saving. And when you're young and you have an account, you really don't know and you don't really understand or, like I said, respect money. So the situation was, okay, I had this account, I put the money in, and I was just spending. I was really young, I didn't have real bills or anything. So I was in college, so I just bought books, bought this, bought that, bought a CD if I wanted it. But like you said, it was my money and my parents were basically taking care of me, so I didn't have to really too much worry about anything. And I encourage young people to definitely, especially when your parents are taking care of you, that's the best, and they're giving you allowance. That's the best time to put money away for yourself. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, that's because you don't have bills at that point. So, you know, starting up a good plan for yourself then would be great. We have another caller, Ron, so hold on. I would like to get our other caller in, and I would also like to open up the phone lines for other people to call in. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Area code 708, you are on the air. Please state your name. Good evening. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yes, how are you? I'm fine. My name is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for calling.
Yes, I think this is an excellent show, and I think a lot more people should really be tuned in to this because there's so much debt in this society today, and it's unfortunate because so many people are suffering financially, and a lot of times you can equate financial epidemics of this sort to like war because people, you know, they fight with each other, they go through hard times, you know, they kind of scrape and scrap to get little things. And it's unfortunate because this sort of topic should have been explained to people before, you know, years ahead of time, you know, before we had this big crisis with the real estate market and things of that matter. But you know, I'm listening to you, and you're talking about ways to save money, but how can you really save when everything is going up, everything is high? You know, you got gas prices now peaking at $3 in the Chicago area, at least,
yes,
to $3
yes,
a gallon.
Yes.
You know, and people have to get to work, so that's eating up your budget. If you park, you know, if you work downtown Chicago, you know, you have to park. If you have family, you know, you have daycare. You know, it's so much that you have to deal with, and the salaries aren't getting any higher. So how can we fight this epidemic?
Well, one of the things I suggest, like I said earlier, was you need to really look at what you're spending. If you have a checking account of any sort, whether it's as a credit union, no matter who your banking institution or financial institution that you have your money or that's holding your money, if you look at your statement for the last 2 months, especially if you have a debit card, and you look at your statements of what you have spent your money on, and take a highlighter.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest that you do this and look at beyond your bills, because you know that's a given. You have to pay them. Because you need lights,
right.
You need gas, you know, you need to put gas in your tank so that you know that. So anything that says, whether it's BP or whichever your gas is on your statement, that don't include that, okay? Don't include any of your bills. Don't include any of the things that you know that get you day to day. Your parking for, you know, you need to decide whether or not it's easier for you to take public transportation or metro, because I live in Chicago also, and kind of weigh what you're spending your money on. If you see constant things on your bank statement that are just wants and not needs, because you know what your necessities are, and I'm not saying that
right.
You can't have a splurge, but you know how much money you bring in. I'm saying that everybody deserves a, because if you work, then you deserve a splurge at least once a month. Not maybe every
right.
2 weeks, like when you get paid. No, you should not splurge like that. You know, you
right.
need to, okay, put it like this. Unfortunately, and I know this may make people mad, but we will pay the church and other people first before we pay ourselves. And then that's in, we have nothing. So you need
right.
to treat yourself like a bill. If you do that, then you're factoring yourself in. And then after you've given yourself an allowance, then see how much money you have left, and you use that to splurge. Because if you look at your, if you're looking at 2 months or even 3 months bank statement, and you see that, okay, I've gone to McDonald's, or I've gone to Starbucks, or I've gone and played
mm-hmm.
the lottery, I've gone and done all these other, look, I bought some shoes, I did this, my wife did that, my husband did this, I bought some stuff for the kids I did not necessarily need, then, you know, start looking at that. And if you, the further statements you go back, you can see, you can track your spending. And then from
right.
there, because you're disciplining yourself. And this is not something that somebody else had made you do. So what you're doing is you're looking at what have I spent my money on? Because that's like I said, when you have cash in hand, it flows out of your pocket so quickly that you don't have
right.
an account for it. So if you're tracking it, then you can say, wow, I didn't realize how much disposable income I really do have. We really do, you do have money. It's just that you don't know where the money is going.
Right.
So if you look at that, sit down seriously and look at what you have spent. And then sometimes, I mean, I know if we all like sports or whatever, so look at your cable bill. Seriously. and I mean, I know that's a big deal. I know, because I know everybody wants to be, you know, it's football season, so you got, you know, they got fantasy football going, and you bought that high-priced sports package because you just had to have it. But do you really?
Right. No, you don't.
So you got to really, you have to put you first, and you got to prioritize. How important was adding that extra thing to my cable bill? How important...
Right.
How much TV are you actually watching that would justify you paying that high price.
And
I mean, some of this is tough. It's tough love. But in the end, if you really want to do something great for you and your family and your future, you're gonna have to, you're gonna have to bite the bullet a little bit. You're gonna have to make some personal sacrifices on the things that you want, so that the things that you need won't suffer. So if you didn't necessarily have to get that mega package from whoever your cable provider is, then maybe you should sit back and go, you know, I didn't necessarily need, I mean, I wanted the triple play. I really did. I mean, it's great when you're sitting down and you're watching the game with the fellas, and that's great. It's wonderful. But at the end of the day, or you paid for that prize fight at your house, okay, where you didn't pay
right,
the
$75. Exactly.
You paid $75 to watch somebody fight for 2.5 minutes.
Right.
And it was a knockout. You're like, dang, it didn't even last long, you know. And so, and wait, so you sponsored the party. You paid the premium price to have the fight at your house. Not only that, everybody's at your house, which means you had to spend more money on groceries because you had to feed these people to watch a fight that lasted maybe 5 minutes. And they did not pay an interest fee to your house when they came to watch it. So they basically, you were their entertainment. You paid the high premium price. So a lot of these things that I'm saying that we can do, we actually have full control over these things. You have control on what you do and do not spend. And you'll be surprised how, if you look at your statements, how much of that stuff you really did not need. And when you do that, you go, you know what? The money that I spent on frivolous things, I could actually put that into a savings account. And you put it, because I know that the banks are not giving much on a savings, but that's more than you were giving yourself in the first place. Then you let it grow enough, and then you can get a CD. Let that ride in a CD, and CDs are not given as much as they used to either, but it can grow for you. Don't touch it for 6 months. Then you say, well, wow, that money that I spent on frivolous things, I have it growing for me in a savings account. I've taken it from there, and now I have a CD, and I'm letting that grow 6 months to a year. Then you take that, and then you can start, once you build up enough money, then you can start talking to a financial planner. And you'll be surprised if you cut the fat, cut the things that you really do not need, you'll be surprised at how much you can save. And how much, okay, because everybody, I truly believe that everybody deserves to be treated. You need a treat because you work hard, so you should play hard. But if you're going to play hard, you need to save hard so that you can play right. Because think about it. Would it be better to have this premium package that you're paying for cable and then for whatever premium thing that they're trying to get you to pay for that's extra, whether it's the fight or the game or whatever it is, if you took that money, wouldn't it be nice, looking at those statements, if you could have taken that money and taken a trip? You could have had a weekend getaway. Now, that would have been money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
The same amount of money that you have spent, you look at your statements, the same amount of money that you have spent on frivolous things, and you don't know, after you ate that meal at that high-priced restaurant, you don't even remember it the next day because you got to eat the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you spend wisely, then you'll go, wow, I can take that trip now. I can actually go on a cruise now. You know, I've been wanting to travel out of the country. I can do that now. Just off of the money. Now, this is splurging for you. Making sure if you trim the fat now, that's planning for your securing your financial future later. So that's just my advice on little things that we can do now. Not, you know, even if you damage your credit, there's still things that you can do right now, even if your credit is messed up. Because if you have some kind of income coming in, and most of us have more month than we have money, And if you happen to have more months than you have money, and that is the majority of us, especially now with the economic situation, we have more months than we have money.
Right.
Even if you're upside down like that, look at your statements. Look at what you're spending. And instead of spending those things on that, put that money away. Pay yourself like you pay your cable bill. Like, you know, like you pay your rent. You need to pay you. Because if you pay you, because, see, you know the penalties for not paying them is they cut you off. We need to do that same thing for ourselves. Make sure that you pay you and treat yourself like that. You must pay you. Give yourself a deadline. I have to have this. I must pay me like you pay all of your other bills. Because if you do that, then you'll be surprised at how that money will grow. And then you can start thinking about how to fix what you broke as far as your credit is concerned. That's a whole different issue about the credit and how to fix that. But before you can even fix that, because even if you fix it, say, for instance, you go to the extreme and you file bankruptcy, and I'm saying you don't have to necessarily do that. Some situations you do have to do that, but you'll be surprised that most situations you don't have to necessarily file bankruptcy. And I actually teach a credit repair class, and I'm going to be going over some stuff that I will be covering in the credit repair class. If you live in the Chicago area, then actually you will be able to have a face-to-face class. And for those of you all who don't live in the area, in November I will provide it online, so we'll have it like an e-class. But what you need to do is, even before you even get to trying to fix your credit, you have to discipline yourself. Because what happens is if you file bankruptcy and you file a Chapter 7, that clears everything off. But what have you learned? Most people who file Chapter 7, in less than 2-3 years, they are back in the same situation. And it's because they did not learn discipline. All they did was put a Band-Aid on something that needed stitches or surgery. Cleaning it is great. Getting a clean slate, that's great. But in order not to be put in that same situation again, we need to do something to discipline ourselves. Because I'm not saying that you should not. Some situations is you need to do the drastic measure. There are some situations that are definitely drastic, and you need to do that. But you need to take a good look at your credit report first, microscopic look, and you'll be surprised at what you can clean up on your own, and that's what I teach in my class. What you can clean up on your own before you even talk to a lawyer. There's some things that may be on your credit report that should not even be there. And why pay them for things that you can fix yourself first? Because I always say that you should always seek legal advice. That is very, very important. Just like I say, you should always talk to a personal banker. Seek professional advice. That is very, very important. I'm going to take a quick break. For those of you all who are streaming with us, thank you for listening. We will be off the air in a few minutes. If you're streaming, if you're on the phone or in the chat room, the conversation will still continue on. But I would like to thank you all that are streaming with us for listening in, and tune in next week, same time, for Secure Life, where we secure your financial future. If you're living in a financial nightmare, this is a show for you. We will take you step by step. The class is great. That's where you really get a chance to get hands-on, and I will walk you step-by-step on how to fix what is broken. And those of you who want to find out about how to become financially disciplined and not let people change their habits, we talk about that. But we're going to talk about those things on the show. And I want, like, for all of you all who are streaming, to tune in next week, same time, and I'd love for you all to spread the word about the show. Those of you all who are still on the phone, we're going to continue the conversation. So, Jeff, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Jeff, did you have any other questions or comments? Because I think, like you said, this is a very great show. And I'm not just saying it because I'm the host, but I do know that it is something that is very critical that is going on in our country that we need to get a handle on it. If we don't respect money, then it won't respect us.
Right. No, you're a great host.
Oh, well, thank you so, so much. Definitely tell your friends, family to tune in. And, I mean, I am on Facebook, so we can converse there. But I also have a website. It is www.secureyourlife.net. So if they want to go to the website, you can read a lot of the articles and find out about credit repair and stuff like that. You can also go on Facebook, and you can archive the show. I do put the show on Facebook, so if you actually miss this show, in about 10 minutes it will be there so that you can listen to the archive shows and past shows also. So if you had any other comment or question, Ron, you can chime in at any time. Jeff, you can chime in too if you have any comments or questions.
I have a statement I'd like to make.
Okay.
Okay, now, the thing, this is something you had mentioned earlier, that was mentioned, I should say, earlier. Jeff made the statement about, okay, you're working in the loop. Parking is expensive, parking in the loop. Okay, now, the question I have, how much does a monthly pass cost?
Well, I guess it depends on where you live, and I'll just give you, I'm gonna give you a scenario that's happening to me right now. And my wife, currently I'm not working because I'm disabled, but my wife works downtown, so we have kids who go to school in the city. We come from the south suburbs, so our gas tank, you know, we have an SUV, which I wish we would have never gotten some years ago before this gas stuff happened, but you're talking about $80 a week to fill that up. And then, you know, it's getting the kids to school, then it's driving downtown where you're talking about parking is $40 a week. So you're talking about $80 a week times four plus 40 times four, you know, that's a large chunk of our monthly income that's being eaten up just by, you know, transportation to work.
Oh boy!
Wow.
Trying to figure that. Okay, like I was saying about. Okay, now what could happen I have the foggy notion of what a monthly pass would cost, but I was just thinking, your missus is the one that she's working downtown. Okay, instead of parking downtown, if she left a little bit earlier and went north to the north side of the loop, around North Avenue and Halsted, where you can park on the street up until about 6 o'clock in the evening, for free. You could park on the street, and if she had a monthly pass, she could ride for a month down, or well, however the things would work. She could take the bus. If she's parking near the bus line, she could take the bus to work. Hello?
Right.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
No, it's beeped. That was just Monday. Yeah, she could take public transportation back downtown. On the north side, public transportation is very good. Or you could grab get down there.
Well, I think that the adjustments, and I'm glad I called into the show, and I think the adjustments that are going to be made is the Metro train, you know, is driving to a certain point, you know, dropping off the kids and then getting on the Metro train, because that would in itself would save money on gas, and it would definitely save money on the parking that's killing us. Because, you know, when we actually had to sit down and look at where all of our money, I mean, we're bringing in a nice chunk of money, but then we had to look at, you know, before I got sick, we really didn't care about it because we had so, you know, what you're saying is so important because before I got sick, you know, we had money to kind of, I hate to say money to blow, but we had excess, what is it called, disposable income.
Mm-hmm.
And that got cut virtually, you know, almost, you know, it's almost a third of that. So, you know, it's a real struggle, and this is a situation that we're kind of dealing with, and it brings in a lot of stress. You know, you just kind of feel bad about it, but I think that's one of the major things when we looked at our budget now. You know, we took it with a fine-tooth comb, like you said, and we kind of looked at everything, and it was like, okay, where's all our money going? And we looked at the parking, And even with our kids in private schools, you know, they may have to come out. You know, we're trying to make the sacrifice to keep them there. But, you know, until I can get back up, you know, we probably have to keep them out, you know, or take them out, you know. So it's a struggle right now.
Well, let me ask you this before we move kids. Because education is important, and that's, you know, getting your child into a great school. And I'm one that I do have my children in public school, but they are in a real magnet school. And I literally,
right.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I live on one side of the town. I drive all the way across town to send them to this school. So the travel, the time for that, and the money for the gas. So, but because I know that my children's education is vital and important,
right.
You know, I guess the first thing I would suggest that you do before you move them is look at your resources as far as your educational system where you live. If it is not up to par, which I'm presuming that it's not, and that's why you have them at a private school, then you need to
right.
probably look at your charter school. Because believe it or not, the charter schools, a lot of them have private school education with public school money.
Right.
Because you didn't have to pay for it. But they have high quality education. So, I mean, when it is almost time, if you live in the Chicago area, correct?
I'm in the south suburbs of Chicago, yes.
Okay. So, then you really need to look into your charter school. And you need to look into your magnet schools, because what happens with that is that you know, and all of the schools have a report card. I know this is supposed to be a financial show, but we're still talking about that too. All of the schools all over the country have a report card, and they will tell you how the schools are ranked and what, you know, how proficient they are in the standardized test. So, and how they rank amongst each other for your, you know, your child's grade level. So you get to actually see the record of where the, you know, where the school ranks, how much money they spend per child. So all of this, in which you, in your private school, you probably don't have easy access to that particular kind of information. And sometimes we're paying for private school high costs, and we're not even getting the dollars worth for our education.
Right.
For a little while I was teaching, and I actually taught at public school and a private school before, and I realized that when I transferred to this private school, I was like, wow, now this, I'm new at this particular school. That I actually taught there for over the summer first before I started the actual school year. And after meeting the students and meeting the other teachers and stuff like that, and I'm not going to say anything bad about this particular school, but I was quite surprised that parents actually paid to send their children there.
Wow.
And I was like, you pay what to do what? Wow, I wouldn't. You know, and I worked there, but I would not have invested that kind of money
right.
because I was looking at the quality or lack thereof, that was going on in the school. And so for whatever reason, you need to really make sure that the school is actually servicing your children properly. And how do they rank against the other schools? And like I said, all schools
right.
have a report card. So that's something you really, really need to look into, because you may be paying these really high prices, and your children may be doing well at that school, but you really need to see where they rank nationally, where they rank locally, you know. So then once you see that, they go, oh, well, that's an expense. Well, if we send them to this
right.
particular school and look at their scores. Now, see, what I'm saying is your children may be doing well there, but couldn't they have, they probably could be doing better. Are they getting pushed the way they need to be pushed? Because remember, when you pay for it, you should be getting top billing because you're
right.
paying. Now, you're also, because you're a taxpayer, you're already paying for public education anyway. So my thing is, look at the benefits of what your resources are. if it is beneficial for you and your wife to take a really good look at your educational system and see what best fits, because you may be paying for more than you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing that, then that's really going to upset you too, because then it will be time to go, you know what, here's a high-ranking school that is not that far from us. Let's see if we can get them in there. Then that would cut
right.
down on a lot of the travel as far as the children are concerned. And, you know, so that might be something that you all can look at. And if the Metra is an economical, better idea than gassing up the SUV, then that will be something else that you can probably look into to actually executing. But I would really take a good look, especially since the school year just started. Take a really good look at where your children's current school, where they rank. And, you know, and actually look at what's around you. And you may be surprised. You may be pleasantly surprised on one hand that there's something that's closer to you that has high-ranking scores, great teacher, and parent reviews and everything for next to nothing. It may be a charter school. It may actually be even another private school that may be closer that ranks higher than the school that they're presently going to. So, I mean, I don't know where your children go, but, yeah. So I just think that's something, especially if you're feeling the financial crunch, like a lot of us are at the present moment, that may be an avenue that you might want to take a little bit of a look at, since you're having to pay tuition. And I'm assuming these children are in uniform also, correct?
Oh, no doubt about it.
Okay. So, you know, like I said, sometimes... You know, we do need to start looking at things a little bit differently, and you don't want to disrupt the children until you've done your homework. You know, you try to cut as much as you can, but make sure that you look at that, because you'll be surprised if there is a high-quality school that might be closer to you and may be able to service your children a whole lot better and actually push them to their, you know, to the heights of their education. Because a lot of times, a lot of these, you know, even though your children are doing well, and that parents do make that mistake, oh, well, my child is doing well, they don't have any problems, but how well are they really doing? It depends on the ranking of the school. Because what is an A at one school may be a C at another school. So you really need to look at that. Look at the scores and look at where that school particularly ranks, especially if you're paying for it. Because my thing is, if you're paying for it, you should get top billing. Just like if you're going to pay for a steak, you wouldn't want to pay filet mignon price and someone gives you a hamburger. You'd be quite upset. At least I know I would be quite upset. You're telling me that you gave me a hamburger and I'm paying $25 for a filet mignon and you just slapped a hamburger on my plate. That would make me very upset. So you need to make sure that you're getting, if you're going to pay, get the best for what you're paying for. Because then it doesn't make any sense to pay for it. Because remember, are these children in elementary school or high school?
Well, here's the thing. I have a child, two kids in elementary school. One's in pre-K, and one's in first grade. And then I have two in high school.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so you have so you have extremely little ones, and then you have teenagers.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, all right. So then, your high schoolers, are they in private school?
No, they're not in private school. We were fortunate; the school is right. You can walk out the door, and there's the school, so that's a benefit. But we're still paying for their lunch. You know, they have we have to pay for their lunch.
Well, here's the thing with that. Did you claim your wife's income or yours?
Both.
Shouldn't have done that. Mm. You're disabled. You should have claimed just yours.
Right. That's a good point. See, I didn't say that we didn't, you know, we didn't know any of these things. You know, we try to do it the right way, you know?
Well, then that's still the right way. Right, that is
what I'm saying
right
from
way.
From what we believe the right way is.
right. If it's a public school, then, you know, you need to, like, you have to, like I said, you have to think of yourself first.
Right.
And when they ask you for information, you have to disclose information, but you don't have to disclose everything about your information. You need, if you, because you all were, remember, you took a very bad financial setback because you weren't, you went from a two-income family to now a one steady income family, and now you're disabled. So whatever the income that's coming from you due to your disability, because the lack of income from two paying adults to one paying adult that's getting a paycheck every 2 weeks on a constant. And now you're disabled, but you all still have four children, and those bills still come. So what they're doing is they're looking at your income as it, jointly as if you're okay. They don't have an account of what has happened in your life. You understand what I'm saying? What financial setbacks have happened. So that's why I said, and I advise people that you need to look at your situation and disclose based on that. And that's not being dishonest, because they're not asking you all of the rest of your business about how much you actually bringing in. Because remember, they're going by the net, not the gross.
Right.
Okay, so that's pre-tax money that they're looking at. So that means before anybody takes anything out, before you pay a bill, before anything. But what they don't understand is you're paying the lunch money based on what's left,
right,
not what happened prior to anybody touching that paycheck.
Right.
So that's why I said you got to take an account of what's going on in your wallet. Don't let anybody else dictate to you what you can pay. Because if you can't really afford that, then maybe they're going to have to take a lunch.
Right.
Maybe that might be cheaper. It may be cheaper for you and your wife to plan out them taking their lunch. And there's nothing wrong with taking your lunch. As a matter of fact, you can get really creative and get, you know, you're able to monitor nutritionally what they are eating versus the junk that they're going to buy at school. So that's another way to save money. You know, so, you know, you have to really, like I said, you got to trim the fat and really look at what's going on financially for you and your family. Now, if your older children go to school closer to home, why are your younger children going closer, I mean, out of the city where you are? And especially with them being that young, I thought that these were, now if you would have said my teenagers are in private school, I said, okay, I can clearly understand. Especially living in the city, you know, a lot of these schools are, you know, with the violence and everything, I completely understand. And that's why I said I would hasten for you to pull your children out of a safe school. So safety, your children's welfare, that's what I said. That, your skimming on your children should be last. You don't skim on them, especially in their education. But these are babies. You have a pre-K. Why are you paying for that?
Well, I think it's because of, you know, the kids, they've been going there, you know, ever since they were, you know, little, you know, just starting, I guess, a couple of years ago.
Right,
you know, when
little.
I was up in, well, I'm saying when I was up and running, you know, the school was very highly recommended. So, you know, we kept them in there. We liked the school there. They're learning, you know, so we could just kind of kept them there. And they just kind of been there since I've been down somewhat, you know, I would say. So that's the reason why we haven't
with them being
really taken them out.
As small as they are, especially your pre-K, you got a pre-K and you have a first grader, this is a prime opportunity to really take advantage of your resources and look at some charter schools, some magnet schools, something that's in that area where you live. I'm pretty sure you can find, because they're small, I mean, some really good elementary and, you know, because a lot of the elementary schools have pre-K now. So you need to really look at those resources and think about how much money you'll be saving. Because, see, my concern is you're spending all of this tuition on your younger ones. You have high schoolers who will who I hope are going to go to college.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if that's the case, the tuition that you're paying for the younger ones, how are you preparing for your older ones to go to college?
Right.
Especially with you being down. I'm just saying, I'm looking at this realistically. Because
no, you're right. You're right.
High school is only 4 years. And depending on what grade those high schoolers are in, if you have not started saving for them, then you're already behind. It's never too late, but you're behind. Okay? So
right.
You need to sit down with your high schoolers. And may I ask, what grade are they in?
They're sophomores.
Okay, so, right. So you're down 2 years already. So you got two more
right.
years, and they're out of there. So, therefore, you need to start talking to your sophomores about college. I mean,
right.
you don't wait to junior year, and you definitely don't wait to senior
yeah.
year to start talking to your children about where do you want to go. And
yeah.
actually have them start looking at where they are as far as high school. What extracurricular activities have they gotten into? I mean, this is some serious things because that determines
right.
your scholarship. And you need to start looking, you and your wife need to start looking at scholarships because they're out there. But you need to have invested the time, sit down with your children, and this is because you're not planning for your future, you're planning for theirs. So you really need to find out, sit them down and find out what it is that they want to be when they grow up. What do you want to go to school to be? Because you don't want to get there and go to college and then you don't have a major. And your parents
right.
are spending money. And, okay, that's freshman year. You don't have a major. Parents don't really trip about that. They don't, you know, get disheveled about you don't have a major freshman year. Sophomore year, they're like, okay, so have you decided a major yet? Well, no, still in between. So then, you know, parents are like, look, okay, this is year two. By year three, you understand, but the years go so fast. And
right.
college isn't cheap. So you really need to start looking at the scholarships, because we're talking about money, about the scholarship situation. You need to start looking at, are they going to go to school in-state or out-of-state? Are they going to an HBCU? What's the plan? And you need to start
right.
that as early as possible. And my suggestion to you is, I mean, you're free, you and your wife, to do whatever, but your little ones, you're spending money on them that you need to be switched back to your older ones.
Right.
Or at least take that money that you're spending on tuition and put a college plan for all of the kids together. You know, you need
mm-hmm.
to start looking at that.
Right.
Because you know, you have high school and you got two more years, and then they're going to be looking like, okay, we graduated, where are we going? So you don't want to say to them, well, you know, you're going to have to go to junior college because, you know, your mom and I, we were rolling and we splurged and we kind of like blew your college money.
Right.
You know,
I'm listening to what you're saying because, I mean, the one thing for me, I was fortunate enough to gain a scholarship to college. So that, you know, kind of thinking about them, I'm like, okay. And all those things you're talking about, I actually have sat down with them and talked to them about it. But I do, what you talked about with the younger kids, that's something that, you know, when I talked about it earlier, taking a serious look at maybe pulling them out because of the money that's being spent, and we can do other things with that. That would be a little bit, you know, more of an investment, I think, you know.
Right, and I think so, too, especially I didn't know how young they were when we were first discussing this. And because they are so young, you know, they can basically go to any good school, and they will
right.
turn out to be good. I mean, look what you've done with the older one. Now, I don't
right.
know if they were in private school when they were younger.
They were.
They were?
Yeah, they were.
Okay. So then for high school, you decided not to do that?
Well, only because the school was right, you know, the school was right behind the house. So,
and it's
you know,
school.
It's just like, it's a decent school. You know, they're learning. You know, we spent a lot of time there. Plus, we kind of kept them close with their friends in the subdivision. And, you know, we said, okay, you know, this is the decision that you want to do. Then we, you know. we'll support that, because there was other options to send them to private school, but we kind of chose not to because they wanted to go to the school behind the house.
Okay. But you, like I said, even though it's that close, you need to, even though they're sophomores, but you still need to look at the benefits. Because sometimes, of course, the kids want to go where their friends go. But you know what high school you go to determines the college you get in. And that's just a fact. So, and colleges are looking at where these schools are ranking. And unless your child is a super genius, and like I said, an A at one school may not be factored in A at another school. So seriously look at where you send your children. I mean, even with my own, I looked at the school and to see how they were ranking, because I was like, okay, that's nice that your friends go there. But how many of us really still as adults hang out with the people that we went to high school with?
Very few now.
Right. So I'm just saying, I'm looking at, I have a few friends from high school. Well, actually, yeah, maybe one or two that I've stuck with from high school. I have more friends from college.
Right.
But,
definitely.
You know, you have to look at that. So, and what you being the parent, have to be advocate for your children, even if they don't understand the reasoning why you're going against their wishes. But you really need to look at the bigger picture and say, okay, look, this may be where you want to go, but you said when you grow up you want to be blah, blah, blah. In order to get to where you want to go, this is a school that's going to get you there. And this is the path that we need to take. And even with all of your children, you really need to sit down with them and talk about money, economics, how mommy and daddy pays the bills, because if they don't respect money, then they'll end up with the same situation that you all find yourselves in. And you don't want to repeat that. You need to sit down and say, okay, let's have a family powwow on where the money goes. And if you give your children allowance, don't just give them allowance. Make them earn their allowance.
Right.
Say diamond?
Yes.
Oh, pardon me. Oh, can I say something?
Yes, please.
Okay, now, a lot of the things, I've been listening to Jeff talk, and he's making a lot of sense. You're making a heck of a lot of sense. But you see, now, a lot of this I get kind of lost on, because all of the things that I was explaining to you that I have done,
yes.
Okay, it was just me. There were no children.
Okay.
There were no children. And you see, so when I got married, I already had my economic program was established and in a position of growth.
Okay.
Okay, my economic program was already established and it was working for me. And now what I did, I told my wife right after we got married, I told her, so look, I have developed some economic theories on being married or even living with somebody. And I'm quite certain that these economic theories will work. All you have to do is just follow my lead, and I'll show you how to make some money. And, okay, this is what we did. And I've benefited like crazy. Now, if she were on the line, she would verify what I'm about to say. Now, we ended up by divorcing, not because we were angry with anybody. It was just we outgrew each other. But what happened was, that's a whole other story, but what happened was this. We were together for 10 years, and in that 10-year period, she did not have any credit, real credit, open to her. So what I did, in less than 2 years after we were married, we were in our own home. She had a car. I had a car. We did not have new automobiles. That's a stupid investment. But we had reliable transportation. They were not falling apart every other month. Now, the thing being was this, was that in that 10-year period, okay, I had credit open for her. For the family. We had Carson's. We had an account with Carson's, with Fields, with, Carson's, Ward's, Fields, at Carson's, Ward's, Fields, and Sears. Yeah, Carson's, Ward's, Fields, and Sears. I had accounts with them that were open. And she never abused my credit because everything was in my name. But if she wanted to get something for herself, we had one child, we had a daughter. She wanted to get something for herself, for our daughter, for the house, pick me up something, knock your socks off. When the bills came in, she didn't even bother to open them. She put them on my chest of drawers. When the bills came in, I would pay them. Now, the thing being is this. The only thing she paid was she paid daycare. Now, she had a good paying job. The only thing she paid was daycare for our daughter, and she paid the phone bill. Everything else, she paid an upkeep on her car. Okay. Everything else I picked up. I paid the mortgage on the house, the utilities, everything. When our separate ways, I laughed all the way to the bank. I moneyed up like crazy in that marriage. And this is say something people do not believe. You can make money being married, or even living with somebody if you know how to handle the money. It's just a thing of figuring out an economic strategy. Now, the thing being, like I said, I was paying for everything, and I was still growing by leaps and bounds economically. It can be done. I do not believe, even in these hard economic times, I believe it would take longer to do it. I mean, to really get it built, but you can get it up and running. But the problem is, see, like what's happening with Jeff is that he's looking at what has happened to him is that there's just too much money going out. I think it's the main thing is just too much money going out. And had been going out almost from the very beginning of the relationship with his missus.
Is that true, Jeff? Hello?
Oh, did you lose him?
I think I might have.
Oh, boy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, no, yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I had the phone on mute for a second. But, you know, I'm going to tell you this, and this is an interesting thing because I was listening. I'm curious to really hear what you had to say, but early on before my wife and I got married, we lived together. We had more money. We were just renting an apartment. You know, we had a lot of money just kind of, you know, saved up. As we grew, we got a house built, and then, you know,
I think I lost you.
Yeah, we did. We lost Jeff.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Yeah, I would have been interested in to find out what he was going
to say. Hey, Diamond?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Diamond?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what I want to say right quick, like, is that, okay, like he was saying about being down. Now, in 1977, I had an accident. I broke both my kneecaps. I was off for 7.5 months. And since I was not on duty when I was injured, this cut into what I had coming in from my job.
Okay.
Okay, I was off for 7.5 months. Now, before I got back to work. You know what I owed when I went back to work?
What?
I didn't know any. No, I owed my mother $35.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I owed my mom $35. Now, what had happened, I had depleted my checking account. See, this is the main thing that I do not believe in, joint bank accounts.
Right.
That's part of my economic program. See, the first thing is going is that you get with somebody that has their own economic program. And forget putting your money together with theirs because it doesn't work. because you, if you have your own economic program, there's no one way of doing this. If you have your economic program and I have mine, who is to say that putting our two programs together are going to gel?
That's just correct.
Because your program works for you and mine works for me does not mean they're going to really get together. We put them together, they're going to grow like mad. The old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That is true. If you did have an account, my suggestion for people is to definitely have separate. You have your own personal, whatever financial plan that you had going, you should continue what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can have a house account joint just in case, because for whatever reason, this is your emergency, and you all do not touch the house account. You all can put money in. It would be one of those things that if you decided, now you and your wife had a great situation where you took care of the needs and she took care of you all's wants as far as bills are concerned.
No,
she took care of the daycare and the phone bill in her house, in her upkeep of her car.
Well, that was her car. See, so it's
right, because that was her car. But what I'm saying is a lot of people now, for whatever reason, they don't follow those same principles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different show. But economically, that made sense. That would work for you all. But I've heard over between this show and other shows and just talking to people in general that they have gotten into the habit of splitting things down the middle. Now, I don't know exactly how that works for people, but if that is what you're going to do, if you have two people that are cohabitating together, whether they're married or just living together, and you all have separate economic plans for yourselves prior to you getting together. If you're getting together and you decide that you're going to split the bills, the best way would be if you all were to take money, if you know what you're going to pay, or if you're splitting all of the bills down the middle, you add up how much the bills are. Some things, of course, are going to vary. You know that the gas will vary. If you're not on a payment plan, then they will be, or should I say the budget. If you're not on a budget, then that amount will vary. There are some bills that are just going to vary. You know for a fact that your rent or mortgage is not going to vary. Okay?
Car note varies.
Right. Car note is set price. Insurance is a set price. So whatever those set price bills are, you all could have a joint house account where we are going to put in, this is the money that each of us, we know what the bills are, we put it in this account, and the bills are paid out of this account. Now, that could work. Notice I said could. It depends on who is going to take the lead in paying the bills out of the account. But if all parties, if you know exactly how much you all are putting in and how much the bills are for, this is what I call the house account. So you're paying the house bills out of this account. Nothing else. You're not paying to go to the movies. You're not paying to buy a new pair of shoes. This account is just to pay the house bills. Now, whatever you have in your own personal bank account, that's completely different. Now, in that situation, I believe that could work. I didn't say that it would work. I said it could. It depends on the discipline of both parties. Because what happens is, like you were saying before, is what my economic plan and your economic plan may be completely different. And I guess a lot of concern would be, what if the other person doesn't put in their money?
Well, okay, one of the first things that a married couple or a couple that's living together, one of the first disagreements they have as a rule is over money. I put X amount of dollars in this account and say, where did the money go? There's no money in the house account. Well, if it's separate, if everybody, if one person is, okay, like in my particular case, I took care of the family business, period. The
right.
family business was taken care of by me. Okay, the daycare for our daughter and my wife's car, okay, our daughter was part of my business, but the car was my wife's business. That's her business.
Right.
But since I'm picking up, I'm paying for everything, and if she wants to, if she has, I have made my credit available, my credit name is made available to her to use as she pleases, as long as she is not abusing this, everybody's happy.
Right.
There is no discipline that is, there's no discipline that is needed except on her. There was no discipline that was needed on her part, only on mine.
Right.
The only discipline she needed was to see that her automobile was kept up and that the daycare for our daughter was kept up.
And to make sure that she did not abuse her credit line.
Right. Well, like I said, that's her business. That was
right.
her business, not mine.
Right.
See, so as long, since they're separate, since we've got it all separate, she could bury herself and it still would have no effect on what's happening with me economically.
Right.
See, so if you end up, if you put everything, if you've got everything, if two people got everything, have everything together, and one of the partners is undisciplined, and especially in this day and age, I do believe most people, especially young, are undisciplined.
That's true.
If they've got everything together and one of the parties is undisciplined and the thing goes in the hole, everybody is underwater.
And I think that is what has been happening, and that is what is happening to a lot of families. Where you have people who are undisciplined, and you may even have both parties that are undisciplined and
mm-hmm.
don't know where the money is going or how it's being spent. And like you said, that is the number one breakdown of families is the financial situation or lack thereof. One person is spending more money than the other person thinks that they should, or you know, so money is the problem. Or should I say lack thereof or mismanagement of the money. And I think like having financial education, being educated as far as money and respecting it, because I think that's, like I said, that's the biggest problem. If you don't respect something and you're going to just treat it any old kind of way, then that's the kind of results that you get. I think that if people are educated into what to do and what not to do, and they need to do that early.
You know where I got my respect for money from?
Where?
From my parents. They were in Chicago during the Depression, so they definitely had a respect for money.
Exactly.
Okay, then. So I got mine from them. But you see, people today, they have no concept of this. And this recession thing is going on now. It's nothing. It's, okay, this is a recession, not a depression.
Well, that's what they say.
Okay, but here's the thing. You have a lot of people, okay, when the Depression was going on, nobody was working. Next to nobody was working. There were hardly any jobs.
Right.
Okay. Now, the situation is that you can turn a buck. You can still turn a buck. Even in this recession, and because it's learning how to hustle, how to make a hustle. Back during the Depression, people learned how to make a hustle. They were going out and they would go to the fruit market, and they would buy fruit that maybe was a little old, and they would be out on the street selling it.
Right.
And like I said, it's making a hustle. And there are today, you have a large number of people that are unemployed. You have
right.
a very large number of people that are unemployed in America today. But also, you have a lot of people that are working.
That's true.
You have a lot of people that are working. See, so it's not a thing of saying like, well, everything is just falling apart. You have a lot of people that are working. But now something I do believe has happened is that, okay, there are more things to buy in America today than the history of America.
Oh, that's true. Definitely.
Okay. Now, people do not have the money to buy these things, but they're getting them.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's true. That is
right.
True. And like you said before, if, you know, when you're buying things that you don't necessarily need and acquiring, like you said, without having the means to pay, you know, that's where the abuse of your credit comes in.
Yeah, but see, what I can't figure out is why would someone go to Starbucks for coffee in the morning and then go to McDonald's for lunch? Come on now, let's get real.
Well, you know, but here's the thing, and you're correct on that, but here's the thing. What happens is this. We have learned bad habits. We live in an instant gratification society. It's no longer the need. We go by impulse and what we want. So here it is, I have a craving for Starbucks, so I'm going to go get that. I didn't make a lunch because I didn't even think to make a lunch. That wasn't even a thought in my head. So McDonald's is close, it's quick, so I'll go to McDonald's. So we spend money not really conscious of our spending.
Hey, McDonald's has a decent cup of coffee. Not great, but it's better than it used to be.
Well, yes, they have upgraded so that you
McDonald's
don't have to spend, $3 or $4 for coffee there. I mean, at Starbucks or any of the high-end coffee houses, you can actually go to McDonald's and get decent cup of coffee, and even a gourmet decent cup of coffee at McDonald's. So they're even increased their choices of flavors and so that you can have a gourmet coffee experience without having the gourmet price. So,
right.
I mean, like you said, just switching little, I mean, you know, take baby steps. Instead of going to the high-end coffee house, then go and spend that money someplace else and get it cheaper, and then use that money that you would have spent at the high-end coffee house someplace else. You know, you put it in your pocket, put it in the savings, make that your mad money. Use that, and you'll be surprised at how much that adds up at the end of the month. You know, at the end of the year, look at how much money you save by not going to the high-end coffee house.
Right. That's a big jump right there.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of little things that we can do. But there are some books that are really interesting. And I think we discussed it on last week's episode and even the week before that people can kind of read and kind of gauge an idea to learn to respect money and have a different attitude and actually go forward. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is an excellent book. And I recommend it. I'm going to put it on the show page, and we're probably going to start having a book club about that, but that is an old favorite. Think and Grow Rich. I read that when I was in high school, and I highly recommend that is a reread for me. Another caller last week mentioned The Millionaire Next Door. Extremely popular book. All of these books you can find at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, Borders. Here's another one, The Rich Man in Babylon. So there are a few books that we can actually look at and kind of get an idea on how we can better ourselves and actually get out of our financial downward spiral, if you will. Get out of the financial nightmare and the downward spiral and kind of rethink and get disciplined on about what we need to do and what the little bitty baby steps that you can make a big, huge impact on you financially. And a lot of people have gotten damaged by what happened with the real estate market. It did take a toll on a lot of people. I mean, people who did have decent incomes and even some disposable income that they actually invested into real estate, a lot of people did lose their shirts. And they were doing the right thing. So it wasn't something that they did wrong. It was just circumstance. Sometimes you do the right things and you find yourself a victim of circumstance. And when you find yourself in that situation, you do have to dust yourself off. You can't just stay down. You dust yourself off and you get back up and get back in the game. But you're a little wiser. Since you've gotten a little bruised, you're a little wiser in your decision that you're going to make. You investigate a little bit more. But you don't stop. You know, the worst thing that you can do is not have a plan in place. So when you fail to plan and you plan to fail,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a plan. And even if the plan doesn't work out, at least you know what doesn't work, which is still far better than standing still and doing nothing or continuing on the path that is getting you nowhere. So it's better to step out on a limb, try something different, cut down on some of those unnecessary expenditures. That's the first thing you can do. Take a good look at your checking account and see where the money has gone in the last 2-3 months. You know, so that's some, and it doesn't take effort to do that. You get your statement every month, or you can get it online, look at it, and print it out. If you have gone paperless and you're trying to preserve trees, which is important, being an environmentalist, that's important that we, you know, go green as much as possible. But sometimes you really do need paper and pen in hand, so that you can actually sit down and take a real good look. It's a little bit harder to just look at the screen, even though you can highlight, but it's harder to sit there and look and track from month to month right in front of you. When you have paper, it's a little bit easier to do that. You can look at one statement to the next statement to the next statement and have highlighter in hand and go, I spent this amount of money on things that I really did not need to spend, and add those totals up and see what you could have saved, or at least, you know, put in actually allotted money for other things or bills that were lacking instead of spending the minimum amount. If you look at what you spent on frivolous things, you could have probably paid out more on that credit card instead of paying the minimum amount, a minimum payment. If you look at what you could have saved, if you would not have splurged as much, you could have paid down some of those bills. So there's a lot of things that we can do to improve ourselves, and it's not going to happen overnight. You got to take baby steps. You got to take baby steps because you didn't get into the situation overnight, and a lot of us weren't taught about money, about savings, about how to open an account, none of this. We were just kind of thrown, it was just thrown at us, and we kind of just went with the wind, if you will, not realizing that too many different air pressures can cause a hurricane or a tornado, and you find yourself in the middle of the storm. So you have to take the eye of the storm is the calmest. So even though you might be in the storm, get to the center. If you get to the center, it's calm there, and you can actually look at what's going on and try to deal with your situation from the inside out. So if you find yourself there and you did mess it up and it's time to fix it, take baby steps. It didn't happen overnight. You didn't get there overnight. It's not going to fix itself overnight. So that's just my take on it. And I am going to bid you all adieu until next week. Thank you, Ron, for calling in.
Good night, Diamond.
Good night, and I will see you all next week, same time. Tune in to Secure Your Life, real talk about real life, no holds bar advice on how to take control of your financial future. To secure your financial future gives you freedom when money matters. See you next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.